I'm calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Good evening, and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton at Eastern Point Beach with a beautiful sunset. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.06 megahertz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers, and this net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions, obtaining answers, and advice related to amateur radio. It's also used to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSNET is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we will go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We will also ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are two sections to the TIPSNET. The first one that takes the most amount of time is the open net, with rounds of questions, comments, and advice given. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button, like I just did, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Tim. My call sign is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. I'm in the city of Groton, and I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, and I'm not sure if it's a question or an announcement, but I have something.
Good evening, Matt. This is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And not really questions, but maybe a couple of topics that might be worthy of some thought or conversation.
Okay, net recognizes Dave, K1DCT, with something that might be contagious, might not be. And Kevin, KA6PDG, with a couple of topics on his mind. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, that's all check-ins for now. It's a beautiful day. I would not be surprised if people were out playing with their kids and things of that nature. And I have a couple of items that of interest that I thought I would bring forth as well, but let's go to the top of the list and work our way down. And Dave, K1DCT, you have something that you'd like to talk about. Please call now.
All right, very good, Tim and Kevin. This is K1DCT. What I have to bring up is a bill in the Connecticut General Assembly. It is House Bill, the HB 5459. And it's concerning the use of handheld radio by amateur radios, amateur radio operators in motor vehicles. Many years ago, hams were exempt from any laws, whatever, regarding operating while mobile. And then the cell phone era came in, and that exemption, that whole section of the state code of general statutes went away. So we were lumped in with everybody else, cell phones, etc. And then something came up that now makes it so that in an emergency situation for emergency purposes only, we are legally transmitting while mobile. This bill will strike those words and allow us to just operate mobile. So if you're pulled over for distracted driving or so forth, it would not apply. So I don't know how many people know about this bill, but I was notified of it and have contacted the appropriate senator and state rep to let them know that yes, I think we should fully support this so we can talk on our radios while mobile without any concerns of being ticketed. So that's my item. I wish there were more people. Hopefully there are a lot of people listening. K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave, for that information. I will definitely contact my representative and my senator, state senator. And I always remember which, I used to get confused on which number House representative, which number state representative I have until I came up with the year 1841. So my state senator is District 18, and my representative is in District or whatever, 41. So that's how I remember. But yeah, that's something that I will take your advice and contact my representatives in both houses and express my support for that. And we'll go on from there. And that was House Bill 5459. For those that might be listening, and that's to strike those words emergency only, so that we can get back to practicing and being able to talk while we're operating a motor vehicle safely, of course. Okay, now that we have that on the floor, Kevin, you can talk about that or any of the items that you had in mind. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Good evening, Tim and the Net. The small Net at this point, hope more will check in, but always nice to know there's usually some to listen. And that was very informative. I was confused about what you were saying at first there, Dave, but when you said you supported it, that kind of crystallized everything. So, yep, sounds like a good thing. I caught the tail end of a conversation a few days ago on another repeater up north of here, and one of the fellows was making the point that it has never been the purview of the state to regulate amateur radio activity or transmitting. But do you really want to argue that point with the police officer? And of course the answer is probably not the best of alternatives. So anyway, good. I'm glad Dave brought that forth, and I hope a lot of people did hear that. Let me reset. I had a couple of things twirling around in my head, and I don't know whether they're stuff that people feel like conversing about or thinking about. Number one was, and Tim, I think you probably got the email by now. You're pretty good about checking your email. I sent you a link for the AccuWeather 2019 hurricane prediction, season prediction. And interesting notes on that. It seems like it's early to be thinking about hurricane season, but it's already April. Hurricane season officially kicks off June 1st. And sort of semi-officially, we kick it up a notch on September 1st here in New England because most of our tropical problems come in the fall, but that's not always the case. So I'll leave that there for now because, Tim, I think you probably read it, so I won't go into too many details. We'll see if it's something people have been thinking about. I don't think it's ever too early to think about preparedness, whether it's for hurricanes or blizzards or whatever. The other thing that was sort of sitting on my craw, if you will, was... I think about YLs, which is the gals, the ladies, and wouldn't it be nice if we heard more of them on the air, that if the YLs were a little more active? And I wonder what people think about that. Is there a conversation there about how to make amateur radio, or certainly 2 meters, more inviting for the YLs, that kind of thing? I did mention this to one ham a few days ago. And the sense I got from that individual, I may have misinterpreted, but I sort of got the sense that, well, there's really no problem. There are some YLs on the air, and they talk and stuff, so maybe it's a non-issue. I kind of think it would be fun to get the gals a little more involved. So, anyway, those were just a few things that I was hashing over in my mind. Nothing too specific, just some ideas for thought and perhaps conversation, debate, digestion, whatever. KA6PDG.
Oh, very good talking points there, Kevin. Yes, I did get the email about the 2019 hurricane prediction, and they had a nice little graph in there that showed that Connecticut is in the moderate, moderate impact or moderate risk, I should say. But June is right around the corner. And as you said, sometimes the hurricanes can come up any time after that, I guess. And with the changing weather climate, people can argue the cause and all that, but we are seeing floods and tornadoes and whatnot all across the country where we don't normally see them to that degree. So it's quite interesting that it could affect the hurricanes as they come up the coast. But definitely Central Florida, that was blood red in the chart. That was, if it's going to come, it's going to come across them, I guess, is one of the predictions. But hopefully it won't be too bad of a year. As far as the YLs, I do know that there are some that are out there, but it's a good point that, we've all been talking about all these new tech licenses and how they get their license and seem to disappear into the woodwork. And quite a number of them are women. And I've seen some techs who have joined clubs and gotten involved and so forth, and they're usually exclusively male. So it might behoove us to try and figure out, what the women YLs might be interested in talking, or maybe starting some kind of a net geared towards them and see if we can't drum up some interest on that. Let me reset. My couple of points, I'll bring them up right now real quick. The first one, let me get to the right paper here, is just a comment that the 5G spectrum that's going to be used is going to be used for the first alert, the next level of data on cell phones and so forth is starting to be rolled out by Verizon and AT&T at various locations. And they're going to use part of the existing LTE frequency range, 600 megahertz to 6 gigahertz, and also the millimeter wave from 24 to 86 gigahertz. And the question is, will that in my mind, is that going to impact people if they have their base station and right there in the neighborhood, because these repeaters or that they're going to be using have to be a lot closer together. They don't have the distance. That'll be interesting. The other thing is apparently there's talk in the FCC about a TYRO license proposal that's now open for public comment, which means it's still going to be a while before it becomes effective, if it becomes effective. And I'll talk more about that next time around. In the meantime, this is the TIPSnet. Any further people or any people that would like to check in, please call now.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck and Groton, good evening.
Recognizes Chuck, W1FJW. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Chuck, we can give you instant service, as they say. I don't know if you've been listening for long, or if you have any other questions or comments you'd like to bring to the table, or it's perfectly acceptable to say you just joined, and you'll catch up next time around. So, W1FJW, KC1TWR.
I just joined, just got here a moment ago, and I know nothing. So I'll catch the next time around. W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, very good, Chuck. And we'll go ahead and go back to the top of the net. And that TYRO license, by the way, may as well talk about that just a little bit, see if I can read it. My printer was starting to run out of ink. And it's a particular kind of a license similar to a novice or a beginner. And basically, it will be... they'll have access to about 80 channels, and this is in response to the FEMA's CERT program, and it allows ARIES to solve CERT's communication problems. It'll be a technical specification, easily double the capacity of the typical 70-centimeter repeaters. That's primarily what that class license would use. With that, we'll go ahead to Dave and see if you have any comments on the various items that we brought up, including what Kevin was talking about. So, K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, very good. Guess we got a lot to talk about here, yes. Hurricanes, I haven't seen the hurricane prediction, but, like Kevin mentioned, typically it starts to really bump up around here, September, because until then the waters in, Long Island Sound and, the Atlantic beyond Long Island, temperatures are really not conducive to that kind of stuff. So, but always good to keep an eye on it and that kind of stuff. As far as YLs, I noticed the same thing. Having been to a few local exam sessions, there are, a greater number of women coming into the hobby. I think that's fine. But you don't hear a lot of them, and I agree that need to latch on to some of these people, both male and female, and kind of nurse them along. And, I know we've heard a few people on here that are relatively newly licensed, but in general, and probably more specifically, the female population, they just seem to get their license, and I don't know what their goal was, but does seem like maybe we need to do a little more. I'm still, well behind the curve, I guess, on this pyro license. 80 channels at 70 centimeters, I don't know. I'd have some mixed emotions about that. And unless that's a driving towards DMR, maybe that's what that is. I don't know. I really don't think it's that difficult to get a license these days. We need to make another one. I question that at this point. Without sufficient additional knowledge. K1 DCT, back to next.
Thank you, Dave. And a little bit more about the Tyro license. The licensees would earn operating privileges on 99 channels in the 70-centimeter area called the Tyro subband. Applicants would have to be at least 11 years old, and the goal would be to a reliable nationwide 70-centimeter interoperability in the exclusive 430 to 440 megahertz segment of the band. One of the things it talked about is that the Tyro license class would require a minimal online examination, as well as, and this is the important part, as well as mentoring by an amateur radio licensee of technician class or higher. The Tyro would be a novice or a beginner, one level below that. And what that means is that it's not something you just go online, do some studying, take a test, and you're done. You actually have to face-to-face get some instruction from a current licensed amateur radio operator. And I think the impetus behind this is also to get them involved and not let them just quickly come in, take a test, and disappear. So I can see this is being somewhat beneficial. And with that, let's go down to Kevin, KA6PDG. Further comment, this is KC1TWR.
All right, thanks, Tim. Good evening, Chuck, and whoever else might be waiting to come aboard. Well, this is the first I'd heard of the Tyro license. I think that's, would that be Tango, Yankee, Romeo, Oscar? Give me the spelling on that if you think of it here, Tim. And, I don't know. The devil's in the details, as I always say. I think one thing we just have to be, in my mind anyway, have to be upfront about, for better or for worse, whether you think it's good or not. The American Radio Relay League likes the idea of having more members, and members pay dues and so forth. Like I say, you can look at that as in the cynical ear, you can say, well, that's certainly understandable. So I think we just need to keep that in our pocket and discuss beyond that. I tend to be the type that if it's not broke, don't fix it. I wonder about, of course, 430 to 440, if I'm not mistaken, there's a lot of satellite stuff in there. However, the mentoring by a technician or higher class AM is a good idea. I imagine that would be... It would be something that the mentoring or Elmering Ham would certify to the FCC or to the league. The FCC certainly doesn't have time to administer that type of activity, and I'm not so sure we would want or expect them to. But certainly there would have to be some sort of credible guarantee that that's happening the way it's supposed to, relatively. So I don't know. It's interesting. It could be. Could be a helpful thing. On the other hand, is it really necessary? I guess it's one of those things that requires a little thought. Let's see, I got a couple more comments on the while and the weather, but I think I'll save them. K6PDG, back to Ned, and the spelling if you have it handy.
Thank you, Kevin. Spelling is, as you had it, Tango Yankee Romeo Oscar Tyro. It is part of the FCC proposal. It's been designated RM as in Romeo. What's M? I've forgotten M. Romeo Madison -11829. It was submitted August of 2017 by Gary Hampton, H-A-M-P-T-O-N, whose call sign is AD0WU. So that would be Alpha Delta Zero Whiskey Uniform. And for Chuck's benefit, something else we've been talking about earlier that Dave K1DCT had brought up is there's a House bill in the state of Connecticut, and the House bill is number 5459, and what that is for is to strike the language of emergency only in the current law that allows us amateur radio operators to only use our amateur radio in the car during emergencies. So you may want to contact your state senator and state house representative and let them know if you support that bill to strike the words emergency only from that bill, therefore allowing us to get back to our normal discussions while traveling. And with that, and everything else you've heard, Chuck, any comments? W1FJ, WKC1, TWR.
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about the Tyro license. I, at first blush, think that, the technician should be adequate. And the verbiage, when I hear words like interoperability, it sounds like, since amateurs already have interoperability, not only across the country, but across the world and beyond, I'm thinking it sounds to me, not to be cynical, but like a lightly disguised chance to steal 99 channels out of the 70 centimeter band, but that's just my jaundiced point of view. Back to net, W1FJW.
And my personal view on it is that they're talking about 99 channels, so obviously they're not talking about, it's almost like a GMRS or a little walkie-talkie where you don't get to dial a frequency, you can hit the button and go channel to channel. And I suspect that one of the reasons that they want to do the face-to-face with the existing amateur radio operator probably has more to do with how to communicate and how to behave yourself and what's net protocol when you're using those radios. So I suspect that they're going to be used more and more by various FEMA teams and emergency CERT teams and so forth, but they don't want to just hand a radio to somebody and say, here, you can talk to everybody with this. They want them to have some kind of training, and therefore they want to call it a certification. At least that's my personal, just what I am kind of reading into it, but I need to go back and read some more into that. But anyhow, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and the purpose of this TipsNet is to exchange information, to allow a space for people to ask questions, amateur radio related, of course, ask questions, ask for advice, provide comments. So anyone that would like to join at this time, and you don't need to be a member of Tri-City, any amateur radio operator is welcome. Please call now. Okay, well, I console myself with the thought that even though there's only four of us on here right now, that I have spoken to various people who have said, oh yeah, I listen to the net, you know, and they don't comment and they don't join, and while I would like them to join, I'm happy that they're listening, and that's all well and good. So I console myself with the fact that there are people, other people out there, and I should mention at this point before we start down the list again that Kevin, KA6PDG, has done a very good job of recording most of these, along with a little bit of help from Josh, K0JEB, and Kevin has them up on a website, AM1700, that's alphamichael1700.org/tipsnet. And you'll see two folders, one for 2018 and one for 2019. And the files have a couple of words in the file names that describe roughly what was discussed during that TIPSnet. So that way you can go back, and if you're looking for something about, long-wave antennas, or you're looking for something about Echolink or what have you, you might find a discussion about that. Okay, we're at the top of the list, and oh my, yes, hurricanes and whales and all that. It's getting to be an interesting discussion, so I'm going to turn it over to Kevin, actually, I take that back. Top of the list is Dave, K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, well, nothing additional at this time, although I'll make a snide little comment. We're talking about hurricanes and YLs, and used to be that hurricanes were only named after YLs. K1DCT, back to net.
Yep, that's very true. And it's interesting here in Connecticut, talking about hurricanes, but also talking about winter snowstorms. Nationwide, the National Weather Service has, I guess for many years now, been giving names to big storms and what have you. And yet in Connecticut, we kind of predate them a bit, and some of our stations, TV stations and local weather services, have their own naming convention for the storms. So that's a little bit of Yankee stubbornness, I think, there. And as we go down through the list, another thing to think about is we refer to women amateur radio operators as YL, and also there's XYL. And I believe there's a difference between the two, but I'm not really clear. So with that in mind, I will turn my attention to Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
Oh, sure, dig my hole for me, so I can get myself in all sorts of trouble. Thank you, Tim. Well, here's what I think is the case. A female ham operator is a YL, but when she becomes or is married, she's an XYL, meaning she used to be a young lady, now she's somebody's old lady, sort of a... Oh, probably a little bit of a chauvinistic or old-fashioned type of thought process there. You'll notice, by the way, we do refer to the gentleman as an OM, an old man, but you don't want to use OL. I don't think that's a safe thing to do. Hi. Hey, there's another expression you don't hear very much anymore. Hi. I remember occasionally you'd hear people who said it all the time and drive you up a wall. But anyway, that's I believe, the distinction. And you could probably split hairs and say that a XYL is also a YL, but a YL is not necessarily an XYL unless she's married. And on we go. So the other comment I was going to make... And I'm sort of second-guessing this, because, I haven't really talked to any YLs about this, and that would be maybe a good thing to do, but I wonder if some of the gals think that some of their interests are going to be different. They may not be as inclined to talk about diodes and long-wire antennas and stuff as the guys are. But they have other things they might want to chat about. And I wonder if they're afraid that wouldn't be welcome, say, on the local repeaters. And my point is, maybe we just have to make sure, not only for whales, but for everybody, to make sure they understand that there is a warm welcome waiting for them, regardless of what things, what types of things interest you and what types of things you like to talk about, as long as it's civil and Part 97 worthy. And maybe that's that. As far as the other comment I was going to make about the hurricane season. I was interested in your remarks in particular, Tim, because obviously I couldn't appreciate the graph that was included in that AccuWeather article, and that is, by the way, on the AccuWeather.com main page, if anybody wants to take a look at it. But it seems like the graph might have been a little different from the verbiage that I read in the article, because I thought they said that all of the coastline, Gulf Coast, you know, Florida, East Coast, Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, that everybody pretty much had an equal chance this year of getting a tropical cyclone or storm or hurricane, whatever, but it sounds like from your description they had really highlighted parts of the Florida Peninsula, which isn't necessarily surprising. I just thought when you said that Connecticut is in the moderate category, that maybe Florida and everywhere else would be in the moderate category. Excuse the frog. I'll feed him and he should be quiet. And of course, for those who haven't looked or don't care to take the time, I guess basically they're looking at an average to slightly above average number of tropical cyclones in the Atlantic Basin for 2019, and a lot of that is dependent on El Nino, whether it stays the same or gets stronger or gets weaker, based on the prediction. I think they're sort of suggesting that El Nino will stay the same or perhaps get a little weaker. The other thing I thought was interesting in the narrative was giving a little information about other components that go into the predictions. Because I think prediction is probably a better word here than forecast. One of the things they mentioned is weather features or trends on the other side of the world that might affect eventually how things go on this side of the world. That was not an aha moment for me, because I pretty much assumed that, but I thought it was interesting that they mentioned it in that article. Kind of good education for folks who aren't maybe weather geeks but want to learn. There we go. 7,282 words. K6PDG, back to net.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I counted 7,283 words, by the way, but maybe I missed double counted a word here and there. Yeah, looking at the map, Connecticut kind of, the rest of the Atlantic coast is in the high range, actually, pretty much all of it. But when it gets up closer to us, then it kind of shows the storms going out to sea more, the predicted path, and that's why we kind of drop into the moderate level, us in the top half of New Jersey, and then the rest of it going to south is in the high level, and of course off the coast of Virginia, or Myrtle Beach area, or not Myrtle Beach, but anyhow, the coast of Virginia looks to be in a very high level. And interestingly enough, on Cuba, on the east section of Cuba, it's white. It's not it's indicating that they shouldn't get any hurricanes, I guess. Something like that. But that's okay. It'll be one thing to talk about when we're talking about hurricane seasons is how well lashed down or what are your preparations for your antennas should a hurricane be approaching us up here. And that would make for an interesting discussion at some point. Let me reset. Yeah, and as far as the YLs and so forth, I'd heard conflicting stories about what YL and XYL is, because I'd also heard that a YL was a woman who has gotten her amateur radio license, and an XYL is a, for instance, the wife of a ham radio operator who has not gotten her license. So I think maybe it might have a couple of different meanings here and there, but I like yours, your explanation. It actually makes more sense logically to say, you know, YL and XYL, although some women might take offense to that if they're still a young blushing bride. But anyhow, we're down near the end of the list, and we're going to turn our attention to Chuck, W1FJW, and see if he has any comments on all this discussion here. This is KC1TWR.
Well, yeah, I got some thoughts on striking the word emergency from the statute regarding handheld electronic devices in cars. There used to be an exemption in Connecticut for amateur radio. They were exempt from the law, but the federal government said that if Connecticut did not include every non-emergency service, then they were going to cut off funding. And sometimes the legislature is the greed exceeds their need to be right. So that may have had something to do with it. In terms of the Tyro license, I don't see, rather than lose 99 channels, why don't we just give amateurs privileges on like GMRS or the family radio service, where they already have existing equipment, and this would solve the FEMA CERT team problem, because everybody has access to that, and they have infinite interoperability. And in terms of YLs and XYL, I think it just carries just enough tradition to say that if it's female, it's a YL, and if it's a male, it's a OM. And I think that's as close as we need to get. Back to net, W1FJW.
Yeah, thank you for those comments, Chuck. Yep, it's there may be other solutions to what they're trying to do with this Tyro classification, and it is open for public comment, so you may want to go take a look and submit your, and this is, I'm saying this generally to everyone who's listening, not just to Chuck, but everyone, if you have some thoughts on it, this is why the FCC is looking for public comments, to see what people have to say about the proposal that was put out in 2017, and what other solutions some people may have that might be pursued. So that's a good thing that they put things out for comment. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. We'll do another round of comments in just a moment. But first I'd like to open up for any further check-ins that would like to check into the TIPSnet and join the discussion. Please call now.
This is Whiskey 1, Julie Oscar Papa City, Groton. No traffic. No question of the meeting.
Thank you, John. W1JOP recognizes you. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, John, quick question. Did you just join? Do you have any comments that you'd like to make, or do you want to wait for the next round?
Well, I might wait to the next round. I just sat down on the desk here, but I am a little curious about what the FCC is doing. I didn't hear that part of your comments, but yeah, I can wait. W1JOP.
Okay, if you have a pencil or paper, the FCC has received a proposal from, what's his name, Gary Hemp, Alpha Delta Zero Whiskey Uniform, and it is a proposal for a new Tyro class license, which would be assigning 99 channels in the 70 centimeter range, and it would be like a beginner or novice class, you know, below technician, and you'd have to be at least 11 years old, and you'd have to actually have some face-to-face training with a amateur radio operator before you could get your license to use that. And the purpose for this is to assist with FEMA's CERT program and create some interoperability. And that is, let's see, that was part of RM11828, I think. Let me double check. Hold on. Correction, RM, this is FEMA RM-11829. So that's out for public comment right now, so it's a ways away before he has any hopes of becoming any kind of a new classification. And also, Dave, K1DCT, had brought up a bill in the Connecticut General Assembly called Bill Number 5459, which is the one that Chuck was just talking about, the fact that it's going to strike the words emergency only from amateur radios, amateur radio operators being able to use their radios in the car. Currently, apparently, according to the letter of the law, we're only supposed to use it in the car, in a moving vehicle and so forth, only during emergencies. So this is it. We should, if you're interested in supporting that, contact your state senator or state representative about Bill 5459 and in support of that. And any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're getting pretty late in the hour, so I think this round of comments, we're going to also include the second section of the TIPSnet. This is that we're still open for discussing all the things that are on the table, as well as anything else that that people may like to talk about or ask questions about, but also use this round to make any announcements for either upcoming events or health and welfare or anything of that nature. And with that, I think we'll start at the top of the list with Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
All right, very good, Tim. Kevin, Chuck, and John, good to hear everybody. Kind of a small net, but as the weather improves and the sun stays up longer, I think that's just a fact of life. Outside of that, everything else we've discussed, I think I've probably said enough. Maybe a little more than people wanted, but, well, it was my turn on the box. So, with that, back to next, K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And, nope, that's good. And I thought of something while you were talking, and then it just went completely out of my mind. So I will try and remember it for the next time I get on the air. So with that, we'll go ahead to Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. And good evening to John, as always. And, of course, I just popped in a cough drop, but I'll try and disguise it. For John's benefit, that bill number, by the way, in the state capitol is HB, as in House Bill. That's important to have those letters in front of it if you're commenting or passing it along. HB or House Bill 5459, different from a Senate bill. And, of course, the race on auction coming up Saturday, April 27 in Gales Ferry. We want to remind everybody of that. And as the weather slowly gets nicer, it's becoming fox hunt season. So stay tuned for details about scheduled fox hunts and maybe one or two that aren't scheduled. I think Ray Sun's got another one scheduled for May, but I can't remember for sure. You may know about that, Tim. Other than that, I don't think I have anything. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
Yep, thank you, Kevin. And, as far as Fox Hunts go, I was talking with Chuck, and he wants in, and we're looking at maybe the weekend of May 4th or 5th, and maybe there won't be one before then as well, but weekends are getting pretty busy this summer. I know my calendar's filling right up with all the various Aries events and races and auctions and so forth. Okay, and I should mention at this point before we go on to Chuck that we are still looking for net control operators. So anybody that would like to take a turn, either one time only or on a once-a-month kind of basis for a few months, for the tips net, we're still looking for people. So don't be bashful. And with that, we'll go ahead to Chuck W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
I'm afraid I don't have too much to add. The Fox Hunt, I believe, was, I forget if it was the 13th or the 20th. I doubt if it'd be the 20th, because that would be the Friday before Easter. But there was talk of one in April also, so can't help you. W1FJW clear.
Yep, no, that's perfectly fine. Not a problem. And, we are talking about one in April, but we're not sure when. I know the 21st is Easter, and the Friday before that is Good Friday, as you mentioned. Coincidentally, Easter, the 21st is also my daughter's birthday and one of my niece's birthdays. So it's a full, I've definitely pounded into my mind what day that is. Okay, and I know you haven't had a lot of chance to make comments, John, so here's your chance. W1JOP, KC1TWR.
Well, to be fair, I'm not going to make any comments on House Bill 5459 because I haven't really read it yet. The introduction to everything that I pretty much need to know. So I guess that's a good thing, I guess. I'm not really read the whole thing, but whatever. Anyway, had a good day. Just got in from work, ate dinner, and here I am. This is W1GOP.
Okay, thank you, John. Yeah, I know you get out of work just around the time the net's starting, so that kind of cramps your style for joining the net. And still, thank you for joining. Okay, as far as announcements go, I do want to comment that this Thursday is the SCRAMS monthly meeting at the Waterford Police Station at 7 p.m. If you decide to go, I think it's this month and next month, it's at the Waterford Police Station. Normally it's in the conference room immediately on the left. Because of prior commitments of that room for police training, we are now, for those 2 months, being given a conference room near the back, and you have to go to the officer at the window when you go into the police station and ask to be let into the back and escorted down to the conference room there. So just a reminder about that. Reminder that there is a group of amateur radio operators that meet at the Old Times Restaurant every Thursday morning promptly at 7 o'clock when the doors open. So for a good time chit-chatting, you can go there. Also, there is a group that meets on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. at the Uncasville Diner on Route 32. So, and if you go there, just be aware that when you walk in the restaurant, but way down to the left, there's a set of stairs that leads down to a small separate room, and that's where we meet. So just fair warning about that in case you can't find us. Let me reset. Okay, also, June, we have the Red Cross University coming up, and that's going to be coming up, I think it's June, it's a little, June 1st and 2nd. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that much I do know. And instead of the Coast Guard Academy, it's going to be both at the Red Cross headquarters on Route 32 in Uncasville and at the Groton Senior Center. So that should be good. Okay, we're going to go into the third round now, because it's getting near the top of the hour. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, it's sort of amateur radio related. I'm looking for about a 7-foot step ladder or 7-foot ladder to go in my closet for getting up into the attic. So if anybody knows of anybody who has one for sale or one I can borrow for a week or two, I would appreciate it. If not, I will see what I can find out there in the market. And we'll go from there. Okay, we're going to put a last call out for comments, questions, and so forth. If anyone would like to have one last comment, please call now.
K1DTT.
K1DCT, go ahead, Dave.
Yes, Tim, regarding your request, typically, step ladders are 6 foot, and then the next jump is 8 foot. So I don't know which one of those would a 6 foot do, or do you need an 8, and can you get it in the space? So that's just something to throw out there. K1DCT.
Yep, that's a very good question, and I have been kind of measuring the size of the door. It's a regular closet door, so it's about 21 inches, 23 inches, I'd say, max wide, but the bottom can be angled in. If I go 8 feet, then that brings it right up to the ceiling, and literally, and then I'm not sure that the person would have enough room to sneak past it to get up there. And what I'm concerned about with the 6 foot is that that might be so short that I'm not sure that the person would feel comfortable coming back down as opposed to even going up. So I'll do some more looking into that. Any further comments from anyone, please call me out.
Oh, K1DCT one more time.
K1DCT, this is KC1TWR. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, well, I certainly have a 6 foot stepladder, so if you would like to at least get it in there and see if it will fit your needs. I don't have an 8 footer, but I do have a 6 if you'd like to try it out and see if it'll fit in there.
Thank you, Dave. I would like to try that. I'll talk to you after the net, and maybe we can arrange something. And we'll go from there. Is that agreeable to you?
Most certainly. K1DCT.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Okay, that was the last call, and we have no further check-in, so I'm going to close the net at this time. I'd like to thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and thanks to all who stood by and listened while we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net, and they have their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 Route 32, Montville. Uncasville, really. The meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. And I should mention that if you go to that website, you will see, I don't think it's posted on the website. Anyhow, at the next meeting, which is not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, so a week from 2 days ago, Jim Seaton will be giving a presentation. And off the top of my head, I've forgotten what it's about, so it's about EM wave propagation on dipoles, I believe is what it's about. So it looks to be interesting. And with that, we thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency, and I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.